You are now listening to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. This is episode 233. Today is August 30th, 2025. And we have a really great episode in store for you today. So let's get into it. Everything you hear on this podcast is non-commercial, fair use, Creative Commons license. Imagine waking up one day to discover that most people around you no longer question anything. That the world has become so loud, so fast, and so saturated with information that the human mind, once powerful tool for inquiry, discernment, and growth, has devolved into passive acceptance of the clown world we see today. Think about what happens to a society where critical thinking vanishes, where the ability to reason, challenge, and reflect is replaced by instant reaction, surface-level opinions, and collective echo chambers. Today, we are going to uncover the disturbing truth behind the demonization of critical thinking and the dangerous rise of what some philosophers now call collective stupidity. Collective stupidity is a phenomenon where masses of people adopt shallow thinking and blindly accept narratives fed to them and surrender their intellectual sovereignty without even realizing it. Today, we will uncover the most powerful and urgent truth of all, one that could determine whether we reclaim our minds or lose them entirely to a system that's designed to keep us comfortably numb. The content you're about to hear may challenge your perceptions of reality and even shake the very foundations of how you see the world. Share this episode with those who dare to think and those who still believe that truth is something worth seeking. Let's begin with a very uncomfortable truth. This modern environment doesn't reward contemplation. It rewards speed, emotional response, and conformity. And this isn't by accident. It's designed by the algorithms that they feed you. Stories that just go round and round in circles like pissed on breadcrumbs, leading you to the same empty, hollow questions and the same result, where you end up losing and they end up winning. Even our educational system prioritizes memorization over exploration. And if you ask the wrong questions, you might even be labeled as a domestic terrorist, whatever that means. Critical thinking gets in the way of outrage culture. It slows down online debates. It challenges ideologies that dare to ask. In a world obsessed with being right, simply asking a question can be considered an act of rebellion. And you might ask yourself, how did we end up here? And one of the main reasons is the information overload that we all experience through our doom scrolling and social media addictions. You know, as we follow influencers and kind of do Simon Says, whatever they do, we do. And, you know, we advance to the goal, collect $200 and don't go to jail. Whatever Monopoly says, like they're monopolizing really our whole existence. According to neuroscientists, the average person today processes 5 times more information per day than they did just a few decades ago. We are bombarded with notifications, messages, texts, breaking news alerts of imminent danger and destruction, opinion ads, fear updates. Every waking moment, everything is, you know, we're being told that everything is getting ready to destroy us from this new meteor that they reflects light from behind, away from the sun, and whatever fear tactic. It's aliens that are coming to get us. I mean, again, understand one thing. Fear is a control mechanism, and it's the most powerful control mechanism next to money that they have. And, of course, our politicians also being bought with that same money. Our minds were not built for this type of input. When the brain is overwhelmed, it looks for shortcuts. It starts to rely on mental habits, cognitive biases, and groupthink to navigate the complexity rather than evaluate ideas critically. It looks for cues from others, especially from peers, influencers, or perceived authorities, or simply groupthink, you know, Orwellian groupthink from that 1984. And while it is a natural survival mechanism, it can be very easily manipulated. Think of how often you've seen online posts with thousands of likes and comments and assume it must be true or important. That's not reason speaking. That's a psychological shortcut, and it's one of the reasons collective stupidity spreads so easily. Not because people are unintelligent, but because they're being conditioned to follow signals instead of reasons and truth and logic. Another disturbing trend is that people simply just don't read deep, insightful books anymore. They just stay attached, doom-scrolling to their smartphones and just consuming whatever is spoon-fed to them, you know? Our brains are simply being rewired by digital media. We now skim more, jump between tabs, and struggle to maintain focus on longer texts. But here's the catch. Critical thinking requires sustained attention. You cannot analyze, reflect, or truly understand if your attention span is constantly fractured. Ask yourself, when was the last time you read an entire article without checking your phone? When was the last time you paused after hearing something provocative to think rather than react? These small habits, once common, have all but vanished in modern society. Today we're told to trust the science, and that science is, if you look deeply into it, that science is actually God, as opposed to the inverse. Everything that was ever created was created by God, including science. And my real feeling, yes, there is truth to science because it measures and quantifies and, you know, tries to connect different dots and recognize different patterns. But science, to me, is just another tool that you use for when it's needed, contingent upon what you're trying to do, you know, simple tasks or even some somewhat complex tasks. But it's science, and it falls in the bin of science. People have lost the ability to touch into the divinity that we have within us and that God has instilled within us, right? Perfect example is the Big Bang Theory. And today we're told that everything that's in existence, the whole cosmos, came from one atom or something the size of an atom that exploded and is still expanding, and it created everything. And I've never heard of anything so stupid. If I'm not mistaken, it's the second law of thermodynamics is that energy can never be, that you cannot get something from nothing. You know, there has to be something first, and then that thing changes into something else. You cannot get something from nothing. The Big Bang, they put it out there just to see how how stupid they think we are. You know, if you believe in that Big Bang, then I kind of question your critical thinking capabilities. And to put it in a different way or different light, critical thinking puts us into our emotions, and we're in a position where we literally feel hurt because of the fact that it's bruising our ego, because our ego is telling us that how is this possible that I'm not aware of what deception is taking place, or how is this possible that I don't have total control over my, you know, life and environment, because I watch CNN and CNN has, you know, has written the book on everything, and you know, I'm following 100% what they're telling me, the truths that they're giving me. And it really does hurt, bruise the ego and hurt a person to realize that they've been lied to basically their whole life. And one of the things that I say, especially people that are getting into this venue of really, you know, knowledge, pursuit of knowledge, is you have to unlearn everything that you've learned. You know, literally re-examine everything that you've been taught, and you're going to realize that a very large amount of it is lies and deception, from our history to the story that we're being told about the economy, from education system, medical, just everything. We're just being lied to, and we're being treated like cattle. You know, cattle that they're getting, you know, they're sharpening up the knives, getting ready to take us all out. So it's we're at a real turning point right now where, if you don't know what's going on around you, you better stop getting all emotional about things and taking a very soft approach or soft view of this, and take a hard line view of it, in a sense of knowing that you got to make some hard decisions in your life. And a lot of people, it's very difficult for them to accept that. They want to keep living in their little candy land with the rainbows and cotton candy, you know, and having Barney singing them a song about the rainbows and shit. And this is what it is. I'm going to play a clip here from a YouTube video that I saw this morning, and it really kind of sums up a lot of what I'm trying to say right now. The name of the channel on YouTube is The Psyche, and we're going to get into it and listen to it, so let's check it out.
But the problem isn't just technological or educational, it's also emotional. Critical thinking is uncomfortable. It forces us to admit that we don't know everything. It challenges our egos. It can lead us into cognitive dissonance, where our cherished beliefs clash with new evidence. And in a culture that values certainty, confidence, and identity above all, this is deeply threatening. So instead of thinking, we defend, we retreat into our tribes, we repeat mantras, we cancel, we avoid, we memorize slogans instead of engaging in dialectic, the kind of honest Socratic dialogue that has powered philosophical evolution for millennia. What we are witnessing now is not just a decline in thinking, it's a social shift toward mental laziness. And yet, the consequences are devastating, because when people stop thinking, they stop questioning. And when people stop questioning, they become vulnerable to manipulation, to propaganda, to fear. And the question we must all ask is this: who benefits when a population no longer thinks for itself? Stay with me, because what comes next will uncover just how deeply these forces are woven into our daily lives, and why reclaiming our capacity to think is not just a personal task, but a moral responsibility. To understand the roots of this collective decline, we must look beyond the surface and trace how certain systems have evolved, not to nurture critical thought, but to suppress it. Let's begin with the education system. John Taylor Gatto, an award-winning teacher and outspoken critic of traditional schooling, argued that modern education does not exist to create independent thinkers. In his words, "The truth is that schools don't really teach anything except how to obey orders." Gatto claimed that compulsory schooling was designed during the industrial age not to enlighten students, but to prepare them for factory life, predictable, obedient, and non-disruptive. Think about that. Instead of teaching how to think, we are taught what to think. From early ages, children are evaluated not on the originality or depth of their thoughts, but on their ability to memorize and regurgitate. Conformity is rewarded. Curiosity is often treated as a distraction. And over time, the message becomes clear. Follow the rules, color inside the lines, and don't ask too many questions. This pattern doesn't end in school, it only intensifies in adult life. In the workplace, in media, even in our friendships, we learn that speaking out, questioning consensus, or holding unpopular views can cost us. The fear of social exclusion, of being labeled difficult or controversial, is often enough to silence even our most pressing doubts, and so we stay quiet. But silence over time becomes complicity. The psychologist Eric Fromm observed this in his book, Escape from Freedom, where he explained how many people secretly want to surrender their freedom of thought, because true freedom comes with responsibility. And responsibility can be terrifying. Thinking for yourself means you can no longer blame others for your ignorance. You can no longer take comfort in the crowd. You must face the uncertainty of truth, and that, for many, is too great a burden. So instead, we choose comfort. We choose distraction. We choose simplicity over complexity. And in doing so, we become easier to control. Social media has accelerated this problem to unimaginable levels. What was once a space for global connection has become a battlefield of opinion wars, outrage cycles, and algorithmic manipulation. Every platform is designed to keep you scrolling, reacting, consuming, not thinking. You are nudged constantly toward content that confirms your beliefs. You are encouraged to respond instantly, emotionally, and often angrily. The platforms reward engagement, not truth. They thrive on division, not understanding. And in the middle of all this noise, the voice of reason is drowned out. Thoughtfulness appears slow, weak, even irrelevant. Why reflect when reacting is faster and earns more likes? Philosopher Marshall McLuhan foresaw this in the 1960s. He warned that the medium is the message, meaning that the way we receive information changes how we think. Today's mediums encourage speed over depth, outrage over nuance, and certainty over humility. Even truth itself has become distorted. In the age of misinformation, what is true often becomes less important than what is viral. People no longer evaluate the merit of ideas based on evidence or logic. They judge them based on how many people agree. This is the tyranny of the majority in its most dangerous form, not political, but cognitive. So where do we go from here? We begin by asking better questions, questions that challenge the status quo, questions that demand real answers, not slogans or statistics stripped of context. What are you being told to believe? Who benefits from that belief? What assumptions lie beneath your certainty? How often do you seek out opposing views, not to attack them, but to understand them? These are not easy questions, but they are necessary. Because the antidote to collective stupidity is not just intelligence, it is courage. Courage to be wrong. Courage to learn. Courage to admit that you don't know, and to start the journey of knowing anyway. Socrates, one of the earliest champions of critical thinking, famously claimed, "The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing." This was not self-deprecation. It was an invitation to stay curious, to keep asking, and to remain intellectually humble in the face of a vast, mysterious world. And yet today, humility is rare. Certainty is worshipped. Arrogance is mistaken for wisdom. Everyone has an opinion, but few have understanding. Everyone wants to speak, but few want to listen. The irony is that true thinkers are often quiet, observant, reserved. They know that wisdom grows not from noise, but from silence, from contemplation, from deep engagement with complexity. And this is precisely why critical thinkers are often outnumbered and ignored. In a culture that rewards speed and spectacle, the slow process of thinking stands little chance. But it must not be abandoned, because once you give up your ability to think for yourself, you are no longer free. You are a puppet, your strings pulled by forces you do not see. And let us be clear, those forces are not abstract. They are economic, political, and cultural. They are the companies that profit from your addiction to mindless content, the politicians who rely on your emotional reactions, the institutions that depend on your unquestioning obedience. But when you reclaim your mind, everything changes. You become harder to manipulate. You begin to see through the illusion. You stop being a passive consumer of ideas and become an active seeker of truth. And in that act, however small, you light a fire that has burned through history in philosophers, scientists, revolutionaries, and truth-tellers who refuse to stop thinking. So the question now is this: will you do the same? Stay with me, because in the next segment, we will dig deeper into the psychology behind collective thinking. You'll discover why even the most intelligent people fall into these traps, and how the brain can be tricked into believing what it wants to be true instead of what is true. We're not done. In fact, the most important revelation is yet to come. To truly understand the rise of collective stupidity, we need to explore the battlefield within, the mind itself. Despite our faith in logic, the truth is that the human brain is far more emotional than it is rational. We like to believe we make decisions based on facts, but the reality is far more complicated. In his groundbreaking work, Thinking Fast and Slow, Nobel Prize-winning psychologist Daniel Kahneman showed that our brains operate using two systems, one fast and instinctive, the other slow and deliberate. The fast system is quick, automatic, emotional. It jumps to conclusions, makes snap judgments, and conserves energy. The slow system is thoughtful, analytical, cautious, but it requires effort. And here lies the issue. In our high-speed, always-on world, most people are stuck in fast mode. There is simply no time or will to slow down and think deeply, so we rely on heuristics, stereotypes, and mental shortcuts that feel right but are often wrong. This is fertile ground for mass manipulation. Politicians, marketers, media outlets, they all understand how to exploit our mental shortcuts. They package complex issues into simple binaries. They use emotionally charged language to bypass reason. They prime us with repeated narratives until we accept them as truth, not because we verified them, but because they feel familiar. And the danger is, once we accept something as true, our brains begin to defend that belief, regardless of evidence. This is known as confirmation bias, and it's one of the most powerful cognitive traps in existence. Take a moment to think about your own beliefs. How often do you seek out evidence that contradicts them? How often do you truly listen to opposing arguments rather than preparing your counterpoint? If you're honest, probably not as often as you think, and that's not a flaw. It's human nature. But it becomes a problem when we're unaware of it. Another key concept is groupthink, a psychological phenomenon where the desire for harmony or conformity in a group leads to irrational or dysfunctional decisions. It's been documented in everything from corporate disasters to historical atrocities. People silence their doubts for the sake of unity. They choose consensus over truth. Social psychologist Irving Janis, who coined the term, found that even highly intelligent, well-intentioned people can make catastrophic decisions when they suppress dissent and avoid critical evaluation. Why? Because challenging the group feels unsafe. Because going against the grain requires more than intelligence, it requires integrity and courage. And yet history shows us that progress has always come from those who dared to think differently. Galileo, Darwin, Nietzsche, Martin Luther King, they were all rejected, ridiculed, or attacked for their ideas. But they thought anyway, they spoke anyway, and their willingness to challenge the collective ignorance of their time shaped the world we live in today. But make no mistake, there is a cost. To think critically in a society that punishes doubt is an act of rebellion. You risk being misunderstood, ostracized, even hated, but you also gain something invaluable: clarity, self-respect, and the quiet power that comes from knowing that your beliefs are yours, not programmed into you. Let's bring this closer to home. Why do so many of us feel lost, anxious, or unfulfilled, even with access to more information and technology than any generation before? The answer lies not in what we have, but in what we've lost. And one of the greatest losses is the habit of inner dialogue, the ability to sit with a question, explore it, and allow truth to emerge through reflection. We've outsourced our thinking to machines, to media, to public opinion, but no algorithm can tell you what is true for you. No trending topic can replace your inner voice, and no mass movement can substitute for the quiet certainty of a well-examined belief. So what can we do? We can start by cultivating awareness. Awareness of our mental habits. Awareness of the sources we consume. Awareness of when we're thinking and when we're simply reacting. One powerful practice is metacognition, thinking about our thinking. Ask yourself, what's influencing my opinion right now? Am I open to being wrong? Am I engaging with this idea or just absorbing it passively? Another is the deliberate practice of dialectical thinking, the ability to hold two opposing ideas in tension while exploring them. This is not just intellectual flexibility, it's mental strength. It allows you to go beyond binaries, beyond us versus them, and into the realm where real understanding is born. The philosopher Jiddu Krishnamurti said, "To understand the immeasurable, the mind must be extraordinarily quiet, still." That stillness, so rare in our age, is where the seeds of wisdom grow. But let us also speak plainly. Critical thinking is not something you acquire overnight. It is a discipline. It requires reading, not just headlines, but books, full arguments, and nuanced thought. It requires listening, not just to those you agree with, but especially to those you don't. It requires humility, the kind that accepts uncertainty as part of the path, and above all, it requires the rejection of intellectual laziness. If something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. If everyone around you believes something without question, that's your cue to pause. Not to rebel automatically, but to investigate honestly. In a time when ignorance is loud and confidence is often mistaken for competence, thinking deeply is not just a personal virtue. It's a public service. Because the future of any society depends not on the volume of its opinions, but on the quality of its thought. And the most powerful change begins not with mass movements, but with one person who chooses to think clearly in a world that doesn't. In the final part of this journey, we will reveal the most important truth of all, the core reason why critical thinking is disappearing, and what you can do to not only resist this tide, but to become a light for others. What you're about to hear could change the way you see your mind, your relationships, and your role in shaping the world. At the heart of this entire crisis, beneath the digital noise, the failing institutions, the cultural polarization, there is something even more insidious. The real reason critical thinking is disappearing is not because people are incapable of it, but because they are afraid of what it might reveal. To think critically is to risk everything that gives us psychological safety, our identity, our beliefs, our tribe. And for many, those things are too precious to question. We live in a time when identity has become sacred. People define themselves by their opinions, their affiliations, their ideologies. To challenge an idea is now seen as a personal attack, but this is precisely the illusion that destroys thought, that we are our ideas. You are not your political party. You are not your religion. You are not your social group. You are a human being with the capacity to evolve, to learn, and to change. And that journey of evolution begins the moment you detach your worth from your current beliefs. The final and most important truth is this. Critical thinking is not just an intellectual skill. It is a spiritual act. It is the act of honoring truth over comfort, growth over certainty, and freedom over approval. It is the quiet decision to live with your eyes open, even when the light burns. Because once you start thinking critically, you begin to see the structures that surround you, the systems of manipulation, the algorithms of control, the masks people wear. And it can be overwhelming, it can even be painful, but it is real. And reality, no matter how uncomfortable, is the only foundation upon which true freedom can be built. As philosopher and psychologist Carl Jung once said, people will do anything, no matter how absurd, to avoid facing their own souls. And yet, facing our inner world, our unconscious motives, our inherited beliefs, our cognitive traps, is the very essence of thinking. Critical thinking is not just about questioning the world, it's about questioning yourself. It's about asking, why do I believe what I believe? Where did this idea come from? What parts of me are afraid to let go of it? When you ask those questions honestly, a new world opens. Not just a world of knowledge, but of wisdom. And wisdom is what our society is starving for. In a culture addicted to quick answers, wisdom invites deeper questions. In a system built on noise, wisdom offers silence. In an era of mass conformity, wisdom dares to be free. This is your invitation, not just to think, but to wake up, to stop living as a product of your environment and start becoming the architect of your mind. Because no school, no system, no social media platform will do this for you. The responsibility is yours alone. And when you rise to it, something extraordinary happens. You begin to see with clarity. You begin to feel what it's like to live in alignment with truth. Not borrowed truth, not popular truth, but your own hard-earned truth. You begin to notice when manipulation is being used against you. You start seeing the difference between information and propaganda, between education and indoctrination, between connection and performance. And most importantly, you begin to lead. Not with noise, not with ego, but with depth. You become a light in a dark room, a voice of calm in a storm of outrage, a grounded thinker in a world of reactionaries. This is what the world needs now, more than ever. Not louder voices, not sharper arguments, but deeper minds. Minds that are willing to sit in complexity. Minds that are willing to say, I don't know, but I'm willing to learn. Minds that are no longer seeking to win debates, but to understand reality. If you want to change the world, start by changing the way you think. Not because it's easy, not because it's popular, but because it's right. The rise of collective stupidity is not a cause, it's a symptom. Though a symptom of fear, of fatigue, of a world too distracted to look inward. But every act of thinking clearly pushes back against that tide. Every moment you pause to reflect instead of react. Every time you ask a question instead of assuming the answer. Every time you choose clarity over comfort, you reclaim your power. So as we end this journey, remember, the most revolutionary thing you can do in this moment is not to shout, not to conform, not to repeat, but to think. Let the others sleepwalk through slogans and screens. Let them trade their freedom for validation. But not you. You are awake now. And once you awaken, you can never go back. If this message resonated with you, share it. Not because it's trendy, but because it's necessary. Leave a comment with your reflections, your doubts, your insights, because critical thinking doesn't grow in silence, it grows in dialogue. And if you're still with me, know this, you are not alone. There is a quiet revolution happening, a movement not of noise but of minds, not of outrage but of awareness, and it begins every time one person chooses to ask the harder question. Let that person be you. Stay curious, stay awake, and above all, keep thinking. Thanks for looking.
Welcome to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. I like to cover topics from ancient history, great leaders and generals from the past, and I also like to talk about self-realization, truth, critical thinking, and strategic spirituality. Outside the box, nonconformist. I'm here to shatter the myths of the mainstream media and the beta sheeple narrative. I do want to thank you guys for listening. Praise Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Praise Jesus Christ's name. My link tree is Alpha Male Buddhist Pod. Links are in the show note descriptions of this episode below. There in my link tree, you will find links to my Instagram, Telegram, Rumble, Odyssey, Twitter, and my free episode archives. If you're a new listener, I have also included links to my top rated episodes. These are specific episodes of the podcast that are the most popular and listeners have given me the most positive feedback on. Some of these episodes are also in video format, so you can not only listen to the episode, but you can watch the accompanying video to that episode. Also, contact me for my free Academy of Liberation handbook, which is in PDF format, along with a free audiobook version of the handbook. So check out the show notes below of this episode for all of my content links. This podcast is hosted on the Podbean platform, so my website there is alphamalebuddhist.podbean.com.